welcome to Arts Canvas, PJ, and let's get an update on what's happening with the Australian Arts Party.
Yes, so we have basically been running our crowdfunding campaign now for a bit over, just over a week and a half, and we've basically passed the 33% funded point on a $35,000 base target. So basically it's been a really good start, but we've got 23 days left to get the other 66%+ so that we can actually stand candidates around the country. So it's pretty consuming. And but it's going well. And, you know, essentially, though, we've still got a bunch of donations and pledges to get in so that we can actually do what we've been planning to do for the last couple of years. So, it's been great.
So let's talk about the types of people who are running for candidature. What have you been looking for in people to put up for the Arts Party? Are they people who've got, say, a strong background in practical application arts, or are they people who've worked in admin, or are they a combination of the two?
Kind of both, basically. We've got quite a mix. We've got a number of people who've got long and distinguished experience in sort of arts administration and different organisations and community organisations around the country. We also have someone like Anthony Aykroyd, who's a stand-up comedian. We have basically artists and administrators and basically creative people. So I think ultimately it's about kind of a mix of people who bring, you know, which is exactly reflects what the arts are. It's a mix of people from all sorts of disciplines and experience, but who are all united in realizing and standing up for the importance of the arts and how we have to look after it right now. We have to fight for the arts because basically it's at a point where it's being essentially neglected to such a point by our governments that it's doing really irreversible damage to the future of this country. That's one thing that they're all absolutely in agreement on, that we need to get a voice at this election and show how important the arts are and how much support there is for the arts across the country. So each one in their own way is helping to promote that fact, whether it be in sort of through their own networks, either because they have a high profile or because they basically know a lot of people in the background. But ultimately, each one is focused on making as much noise as possible at this election.
Surely it would be unique to actually have a minister in a cabinet who actually had hands-on experience with the actual portfolio that they have.
That would be, well, it seems that that's often disastrous. When we look at George Brandes, who considers himself a great art lover, he has been one of the most dangerous and damaging arts ministers we've ever had in this country. So it's kind of quite bizarre that. I'm finding myself in a way, because the arts ministry is usually treated as some sort of holding ground for sort of second-rate ministers who'd like to get to a more important position in the, you know, in the front bench.
Like gaming and racing, perhaps.
Yeah, that's right. Something really critical like that. You know?
So is this the difference between a practitioner and a consumer, though?
I think that we all create. Some people are basically able to turn that creative urge that we all have into something that pays the bills, and the rest of us are able to enjoy that. But, you know, creative expression is something that's innate to all of us. I mean, we're all a species of tinkerers and basically unable to just let things just, stay still. We need to improve and develop things all the time in every sense, whether it's us creating works of art or deciding what we're going to wear today or basically writing some sort of piece of software. Creativity comes out in 1,000 different forms. So
if we had to start to almost from the bottom up rebuild the arts in this country, would you be looking at, say, designating funding towards, say, youth projects and art that sort of promotes the involvement of youth, such as theatre groups, visual arts groups, dance groups and this sort of thing? Or would you be working at the top end of holding up the companies that already have an established reputation?
Oh, absolutely the first choice. We need to introduce art and arts education and music into our lives at as early a point as possible. It's such a critical thing to help develop us as children into constructive and productive adults. That is the number one space, and it's where we have to make a change. And as we move through our lives, we need to give the facility, the opportunity to develop the talents that we all have when we're at that point in our lives where we need it most. I mean, ultimately, all the major organizations rely completely on the talent that rises up through the community, small and medium community sectors across the country, from those little stages and from the RSLs and the pubs where people first get to perform, where whether it be, you know, in whatever sense, singing and dancing or acting or playing instruments. But basically, it's only when they get those opportunities that they have the launch pad to go forward in their careers. And that, of course, is where all of the cuts are coming, and that's what we've lost. And we're losing constantly right now, and are going to continue to lose over the next 12 to 18 months until there's really going to be so little opportunity left. The ultimate losers are the big organizations. Where are they going to get the talent and the people that they need to keep innovating themselves? In fact, frankly, a lot of them don't innovate at all. They're not focused on Australian work and new work, and basically they're far more focused. I mean, when was the last time, I think, that, like, you know, that they ever kind of pushed the boat out in terms of questioning the system? Or, you know, oftentimes, you know, the first choice is a 100 to 500 year old European piece of work that we're going to rehash again in Australia, as opposed to promoting new Australian works by Australians for Australians. And you know, how do we get that content created if we're not investing in the future of this country, in our education, and in all of those community groups that basically give people the chance to shine?
Well, it makes sense to me, PJ. So I hope it's making sense to listeners out there as well. And they can go and look up the crowdfunding site for the Australian Arts Party. Please give whatever you can there to get some more candidates up, because you've got, what, 20 days left to go for the final amount that you need to get all 30 candidates fielded in the coming federal elections, which aren't that far off, are they?
Well, they aren't that far off. And this is a very much an all-or-nothing scenario. We're not, you know, we need to raise $35,000 to stand the candidates we have. And if we can raise more than that, then to stand more candidates. But if we can't raise that money, if we can't make a stand for the arts at this election, you know, in this crowdfunding campaign, then we can't make a stand at the election. So it's absolutely critical that people step up and contribute what they can right now so that we can do this, because we don't have any sugar daddy that's sitting in the background chucking money around. There's no sort of Clive Palmer for the arts helping us out here. This is about normal people who care and who want to see a voice for the arts, who want a better deal in their communities around culture and the arts. This is the time to step up and contribute. So the Arts Party website is the easiest place to find the possible campaign. It's artsparty.org. And I really would call on anybody listening who cares about the future of arts in this country to give something this week to our campaign.
Well, there you are, Arts Canvas listeners. It's over to you. Spread the word and go over there and contribute. And remember where to put your tick when we finally get to that big election. Thanks for talking to us, PJ.